Arrowhead. Taste test.
Yeah, we switched up the water today. We got sparkling spring water.
After we sang Miragua's praises, we have journeyed off. Logan tasted it. Calculating.
It's very good. It may be better than Miragua, but I think I prefer the Miragua just because there's so much carbonation.
Hard bubbles. It's a spicy bubble.
I looked it up after you left yesterday and or last week, whenever we it's got salt in it. It's got a few ingredients. This Arrowhead just has water and carbonation.
No salt?
No, but it's spring water, so maybe it naturally has.
Why does Miragua have salt? For taste?
Yeah, it has sodium bicarbonate as well. I don't know what that is.
I don't know.
And potassium chloride.
Potassium chloride.
I think a lot of bottled water says like trace amounts of stuff added for taste. And I think that's all that stuff is probably.
But what does it taste like before that?
Like this.
I mean, it's got to be like to keep it clean, keep it bubbly or something like that.
I thought about that too. Yeah, maybe that keeps the bubbles contained.
Keeps it spicy. But Lake Arrowhead, we were so close to Lake Arrowhead that we can get it straight direct from the source. Nothing. No bullshit added.
Yeah.
Except for, I'm sure, microplastics.
That's right.
We're mostly microplastics at this point. We're macro.
Right. Yeah, I was thinking the other day, you know, with society, everyone would be so outraged, but really, if we all grew up never using disposable containers, everything would be better. We'd just be used to bringing containers to go
Why
get
would
stuff.
People be upset about that?
Today? Because they're used to it.
Oh,
you've
like
seen
if,
how people,
if it shut off today, people would be upset.
Yeah, you've seen how people react to straws. If you're an adult, don't use a straw. That's it.
You never use a straw?
If I'm getting fast food, I use a straw. But
there we go.
But you know what? They make, I guess those are plastic too. I was going to say they make the caps on coffee that don't need a straw.
Right. Those are plastic too. Those are arguably even more plastic than a straw.
That could be. Yeah. Well, there's no easy solution, I guess.
And
I give up.
I saw a graphic. Okay.
So you seem very confident in this graphic.
Well, I was going to bring up a fact, and then I know you're just staring me in the eyes.
I'm immediately going to be like, where'd you hear that? You're going to be like, never mind.
I saw a picture on Reddit that I read. So it's got to be true.
All right.
About the number one, the top plastic polluters in the world by country.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all...
Can I guess?
Go ahead.
Oh, I guess, well, China, obviously, is number one. But I was going to guess, that's my guess.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Oh.
So what else is going on?
What? Well, what did you read then?
It was like a bunch of Asian countries, and U.S. was like not even on there.
Oh, yeah. Well... Yeah, that makes sense. They just have such a high population. There's so many of them. And China's right there manufacturing a bunch of bottles for everybody.
Well, it was a lot of Asian countries. I assume probably small ones, too. It wasn't just like China and India.
It must have been per capita, though.
Again, I've told you as much as I know.
Got it.
But also, we ship all of our plastics. We used to ship it to China. Then we probably shipped it to the Philippines or some other country like that. And so, you know, and they would take it because we'd pay them to take it. Right?
Like our trash, you mean?
Our single-use plastics for them to recycle, quote-unquote.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So,
that
well,
seems
then
like a big waste of energy to take it across the ocean to recycle it.
Well, we don't want to recycle it.
What? Okay.
Because it's just that it's not cost-effective to recycle it, and it's a pain in the butt. It's really hard to recycle single-use plastic.
Well, that's what I was. That's actually earlier why I was thinking that it would be great if we all just had our own glass and metal containers, which are recyclable easily.
Right. Right. Yeah.
But we're all stuck in this convenient, and I love it too. I love my disposable shit, but I create so much trash. You saw that trash can yesterday, it was empty.
Yeah.
Every day I fill up a trash can, just me.
I know.
With plastic.
I know. I know. I know. It's so easy, and it would be so hard if it cut off all immediately. There'd be so many times, you know, I still go to the grocery store and I go, oh, shit, I forgot a reusable grocery bag. Yeah, just give me a plastic bag. I'll pay the 10 cents, you know? So I still can't. There'd be so many times like, oh, I want to get food. I want to get takeout food right now, but I don't have a container in my car. I can't just put it in my pocket. Unless I get like a, I guess if I got a burger or something.
Yeah, plastic bags are the best plastic product, I think. Because bottles, I really could do without. And I think you could even go to a store and forget your bottle. And it's like, just use our bottle and drink it and put it in the thing and we'll wash it, you know? I could picture a society where that works.
Right.
But plastic bags are so great.
No, that makes, yeah, right. It makes total sense. Here, buy this in a glass bottle we have here. Bring it back. We'll give you the money back for that glass bottle.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know,
we sort of have that in California, but it's not that simple.
Like the milkman.
Yeah.
Right? That's what milkmen used to do.
Yep. Obviously, though, people must have decided it's more convenient to buy it at the store and throw the container away. Because we had the milkman.
Right.
Yeah.
Was milk just not at stores then?
Actually, speaking of milk, I just yesterday watched a short documentary about how we, like, during World War II, I think, we subsidized all these dairy farmers to create milk and cheese and stuff for the soldiers.
Yeah.
And then once the war was over, no president or politician wanted to all of a sudden, like, make dairy farmers suffer. So they just kept supporting them and basically was like, okay, well, we'll buy all your milk and we'll make cheese. And then they're storing all this cheese. The government's storing all this cheese in a cave. It's about to go bad. And in the 80s, they're like, you know what? This is now free for everyone who has food stamps. That's where government cheese comes from.
Wow.
And it's just this perpetual thing where, like, the dairy farmers are just now being supported over and over because, I mean, their product is delicious.
Milk.
And cheese and everything that's made from it. And
yes.
Like every American cheese and the Taco Bell, like cheesy melt thing. It's like one of the cheesiest products you can buy. Like all this stuff is like from this legacy of dairy farmers being subsidized and like
interesting
us always having a surplus of milk. That's why you grow up being told it makes strong bones and all this stuff.
Right.
But you really don't need it after you're like 6 years old.
Right. But like milk. There's still a market for milk.
For sure.
But it would just drop off if the government wasn't giving them money.
At this point, we were all born into this culture, and I love cheese and milk. And so, yeah, I have milk in my fridge now. So,
yeah,
I don't think they need as much support now. I don't see as many milk ads got milk as
no.
I used to.
No, that's true.
So they may not be getting supported now, but there's a legacy of this, like, history of, like, milk and dairy products being everywhere
all
the time.
Now that Biden's in office, probably oat milk's getting subsidized for his macchiato caramel Java whips.
Probably. I like oat milk ice cream. I don't like oat milk.
I like it all, baby.
But oat ice cream is, like, really good.
Oat milk ice cream's great.
Yeah.
Oat milk's good, too. It has sugar in it.
Any
like
milk.
Carbs.
I buy skim milk, and whenever I've tried almond milk, and that is like insane. Why would you drink that? Like, it just, all this stuff is so dense. It seems like it's way more fattening than skim milk, but it doesn't have lactose in it.
Right. Yeah, but, you know, cows are bad.
Because they fart?
Yeah. Yeah, because they fart. Their methane is a problem.
Yeah. That's one thing where I'm not as, I don't know.
Environmentally friendly?
Yeah, because I do feel bad about plastic. But I know it's so convenient, but it's really a mess. What are we going to do with all this plastic? But I love beef. I just ate burgers yesterday and fucking milk. I'm all about some cows.
I know. It's so good.
I guess you could. Could you just replace, hypothetically, could you replace them with goats? Do you know? Do goats fart as much?
Goats gotta fart.
I mean, everybody farts, but there's something about cows.
Cows, they have more methane than goats? That's a good question.
I heard someone say that they only have methane because we're feeding them corn. So I hear, like, all these weird...
Yes, I've heard that too. Well, I don't...
Well, that seems like an easy solution.
That doesn't make any sense.
Again, that's another industry, the corn industry, where we've just, like, pumped money into it, and now everything has corn in it.
Right, exactly.
Corn milk... I don't know. Oh, literally, I guess if you're eating cornflakes, you're eating corn and milk.
Yeah, you're American, that's for sure. Yeah, but that doesn't make sense, because no matter what, if you fart, it's methane. Maybe corn just brings the farts out of them, or I know there's like, you can give them like a, I think I've heard, seen a report or something, that they call like a, there's like a seaweed diet that they can feed cows with that eliminates some problems or something of that nature.
Yeah, I would vote for that rather than, yeah.
What if you can grow cows. meat in a lab?
That, I'm not for that. I hate that shit. I mean, I believe you should be free to do it or whatever, or try it if you're a company, but I'm not eating that shit. I had some Beyond Beef. Have you tried it?
Yeah.
It's gross to me.
It's not beef.
No, and it barely, I just don't like it at all.
It's a different thing. Impossible. It doesn't taste gross. I think.
But. Both of those, they don't taste that gross, but when you swallow it, my stomach knows something's wrong. It doesn't feel right. When I swallow some beef, it feels good and I feel satisfied. When I swallow that, it's like my stomach can't decide if it's sick or not, or what the fuck did you just eat? And I try to live organically, and that's not what that is, you know?
Yeah, I think my ideal diet, which I don't follow because I'm a fat ass, thundering fat ass idiot,
right?
Loser.
Yes.
But if I could, if I was smart enough and I had the willpower and I was strong and not such a dumb bitch that's fat, what I would do.
And stupid.
And yes, well, I said dumb, but I guess I'm stupid too. There's two types.
I wanted to pile on.
Yeah, it's such a shithead. That can't stop shoving shit in his mouth. It's stupid shit. But ideally what I would do is eat no meat. Okay? Hear me out.
I'm listening.
No processed.
I mean, that people do that.
No, like, not even like a Beyond.
Like waiting for a reaction.
Well, you're.
No meat. It's like, oh, you're my 50th friend is vegan now. Okay.
Well, I don't want to upset your tummy. I'm trying to figure out whether it's upset or not. No meat, right? I eat. What do you eat besides that? Legumes, mushrooms.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And then maybe.
I would rather eat that stuff or even a vegan burger, even though I don't like those that much. Those are way better than Beyond Burgers to me personally.
Yeah. What's in a vegan burger?
Usually beans.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I'm okay with that. Yeah. But like, yeah, eggplant. Just eat all that
right.
for maybe five days a week. And then 2 days a week, I get some really good, high quality, locally sourced, one cow farm, ecologically positive.
One cow farm.
You know, a cow that they've grown from a baby and they kissed every day.
And you got to name it and pet it.
Yes.
And now you're going to eat it.
And then I
got
to slit its throat.
Personally?
Yes. But does that make sense?
It actually does, because that is a little bit more morally good that you kill your own meat, I think.
I agree. I absolutely agree.
Who knows what they did to these cows?
Right. Well, I think they just like turn them upside down and shove a rod through their brain or something.
Whoa.
Like, it's like totally, like they're totally removed from it.
Right.
You know, they found a way to like, they make the cows dizzy and then chop their heads off or something weird and unhumane, but technically faster. But I think we should all be killing the meat we eat just to know what you're eating. You know what I mean? And we're back.
Yeah.
I hope you enjoyed that quick break. Got up and went to the bathroom or something, stretched. We got rudely interrupted by the recorder. Technical error today. And I was about to explain something. Killing animals?
Yeah, you mentioned you never hunted, but you killed an animal.
Yes.
What happened?
Okay, well, we're bringing up dark.
You just had a thirst for blood.
Wounds. Yeah.
Hey, you don't have to talk about it.
No. So what happened this time? This is the only time I can think that I actually have killed an animal.
Sure.
That I know of. And I'm about to kill some more.
Okay.
But so killing some more, I think I have some rats or mice in my attic of my house. So I'm going to try and kill those.
Right. Oh,
with with traps, which I'm not looking forward to. That's going to be horrible and disgusting and scary, because my fear is I'm going to set a trap. It's going to get one. Maybe it won't die and it's going to jump at me and I'm going to yell and scream. Right.
Right.
Or I'm going to go up to put one in there and one's going to jump on my face and I'm going to yell and scream.
So you haven't even been up there?
No.
You just hear them scurrying around above your head?
Yes.
Whoa.
Just not all the time either. Not too often, but every once in a while, which is, you know, not fun. Anyway, this time, there was this is at my parents' house, and they have my grandma's house. My grandma's no longer with us. Rest in peace. But in her house, which is still there, it's all on the same property, and this has really high ceilings and high windows. It's a beautiful house, almost like looks church-like.
Okay.
And then the doors are like, you know, low, where normal door size, but since it's such high windows and high ceilings, pretty low compared to the rest of the house, right?
Okay.
So a bat got in there.
Oh, no.
And this bat is flying around, and we cannot... It's like just flying into these giant windows, right?
Uh-huh.
And opening all the doors, it cannot figure it out.
Right. And you can't reach the windows, or they don't open, right?
Right. The windows don't open, right. So... it's been flying in this house for like 3 days.
Aw, poor little guy.
Not eating, not drinking. No idea how to catch it because it's up so high.
Uh-huh.
So I went up there with my stepdad and some family friends. And we were going to sit and leave the doors open and sit outside and watch to see if the bat flew out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're sitting outside drinking beers, watching, waiting for a bat to fly out. Nothing's happening. We see it flying around the house again, but it's just can't figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And it stops, and it's just tired, and it's hungry, and it's thirsty because it's not eating or drinking anything for these 3 days.
Right.
So we're like, my stepdad's like, all right, I've had enough of this. I have an idea. Goes down. He has like a 20-foot long pole, like a stick. It's wooden. Right.
Okay.
And he goes and gets it. It was his grandfather's.
It's my grandfather's stick.
Yeah. Well, his grandfather lived in the Central California and Stockton area, Central Valley, and had a walnut farm.
Oh, cool.
So he had the stick to knock walnuts off the trees.
Cool.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a cool stick. and so, like, all right. So he was like, we're going to go get the stick. So we go down to the garage. I get pick up a stick. So I'm like, this thing's awesome. It's so big.
Uh-huh.
And walk it up to the other house. And then they get back in. He's like, all right, we're going to squash the bat. You're holding the stick. Go for it.
Like, oh. How old were you?
Oh, it was a couple years ago.
Oh, okay.
It was a couple years ago. And
you're not like five.
Shit. That's not what I thought. I just wanted to hold the stick because it was cool. I wanted one of the, you know, my stepdad or my friend's dad. I wanted one of the older guys to handle it.
Right. Now, could you have put a net on the end? Or was that just...
No. No. Because there was no, like, no connections or anything like that.
Okay.
There's no, I mean, maybe if we like took a hanger and stuff, but then
you'd have to like go buy a butterfly net and then tape it to the thing.
And nets also, when they talked to the animal control, they said nets could hurt them.
Oh, okay.
So like I think the best solution would have been to, there was no other solution.
Got it.
There was no other solution. We tried anything else. They can like break their wings and they get tangled up in a net and then they're fucked.
Right.
Which I don't know. Maybe it's still worth a shot, but
hard to tell.
Yeah. It was a difficult situation. So I'm holding the stick and he goes, all right, well, you're squashing it. You got the stick. Oh, shit. And so it was traumatic. It was hard. Aww. So yeah. It's just stuck in one spot. It's not flying around anymore. It gave up, right? That's when we're kind of like, this thing's done for.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It can't find its way out. It's not even flying around anymore, trying to get out anymore. It's just fucking done. And so I held the stick. It's way up in the ceiling, pretty high up. And I cock it back. And just stomp on it, basically smash it into the ceiling with the stick.
Mm-hmm.
And
now there's a stain on the ceiling, maybe.
Probably. And the first one didn't even get it. And you could hear it's like echolocation going off because it definitely hurt it. I was trying to go for the head, but it's so high up, it was hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I brought it back down and did it again and smashed it in the head and wedged it up into the corner there where it was stuck in there. And it was, I felt so guilty and terrible. And then it was stuck up there and then I like hit it a little bit and it fell bonk right onto a table and it was dead. Put it in a box and that was the end of it.
Well, you're going to hell. Anyway. Nah, that is sad, but yeah, what are you going to do? It's in your territory. It would have killed you if you were a bug. In its territory. No, I mean, you know, that's part of life is death. But I agree with what you were saying earlier, which is it's good. I don't know if you should have to kill literally everything you ever eat, but
no.
It's good for everyone. This is where I'm like, I think it's good for everyone to go hunting once in their life or something like that or work on a farm or deal with death in a way that
just
is productive. kill a chicken. I went dove hunting once. It was really fun. The doves were out in nature living a free life until, obviously, I killed them and re-killed them. But, I mean, I don't know. That does, for some reason, it doesn't feel immoral when you're doing it. And, you know, we ate the doves. But I think it's good to just see the process. And maybe I was already warmed up to this type of thing because when I was a little kid, we went fishing all the time.
Yeah.
And cleaning a fish is the most brutal thing in the world. I mean, you are cutting its body apart.
Yeah.
And even though it's knocked out and it can't feel anything, its gills are moving. It's all its muscles are still like trying to swim. I mean, you cut a fish's entire body off. Its ribs and heart and everything is showing. It's still trying to swim.
Right.
Just because its body just knows that motion.
Right. Right.
But once you see stuff like that, I don't know. I do think it's part of the human experience. And I don't know. I think it's important to know, like, on an organic earth level, that's part of being one with nature and understanding life. And I don't know.
Well,
I
we're
think
so
that's important.
Removed from it.
Yeah. When you're so removed from
meat.
It. Exactly. And people have two different reactions. Some people are like, I don't want to know how it's killed. I just want my meat. And it's like, ah, that's kind of weird. But it's also weird when people are like, I just can't imagine a poor animal dying so that like I can eat it. And it's like, yeah, but I mean, all animals do that. And plants are alive too. You know, I don't know.
Right.
I have like my own little thoughts on it. Live and let live, human wise. Like, if you want to be vegan, please do. But I think it's better to eat meat than it is to eat beyond stuff, and I think it's better to, you know, do everything humanely. I don't know. We're not going to solve all the world's problems today, but almost.
Well, in terms of climate impact, there is obviously a bigger climate impact of eating meat. And, you know, I always thought for a long time, like, you know, keeping the animals alive to save them from pain and the cruelty of it. What if plants feel pain? Wouldn't that make it, if we could find out for sure that plants could also feel pain, wouldn't it make it not matter what we're eating, plants or animals? But then I realized, oh no, because you're feeding the animals plants and then killing the animals and eating them. So that's not saving, you know, that's not, you're still hurting more plants and then killing an animal too. But I think it being so removed from what we're eating is bad. Like, you know, if we went to Burger King or we went to McDonald's, let's say we went to McDonald's, I could order a cheeseburger, a fish fillet, and chicken nuggets in one meal. And that's three different animals, and put bacon on the burger. You know what I mean? That's four different animals I'm just like murdering for one stupid meal that sounds delicious right now.
It does. We need to go to McDonald's, Mickey D's after this. Now, I think the core problem isn't eating meat. I think it's our system, which is industrialized now. So there's no farmer. Well, maybe in California there are a few farmers who just own a farm and it's like a family, but that is diminishing all over the world now. And, property is being bought up by these giant corporations who are going to use machines and assembly lines and all this stuff to create meat for us. They're going to feed the animals the cheapest, most efficient food, have them sit in a line, you know, on a conveyor belt to be slaughtered. And I mean, I'm exaggerating and like just using these terms, but I think you know what I'm getting at. It's like, I think that
is
corporatization is the problem. To me, I don't think it's immoral to eat meat.
The prioritization of some animals in our culture over others because they're our pets doesn't really make sense logistically for when it comes to, you know, there's dogs aren't, we're not saving dogs because they're as smart as us, but mainly because they're evolved to be our pets, not to be our food.
Yeah, I don't think that's I'm not saying I think that's wrong.
No, it's not our culture.
Like, they're our buddies, and I don't want to eat a dog. But I would never wag my finger or think a person is evil for eating a dog. But if they ate their pet dog, that's kind of fucked up. Like, what? If it's their own puppy that they threw on the grill, I don't know. That's kind of messed up.
Yeah, that is really messed up. Absolutely.
But if you bought it from the market and... Maybe I shouldn't even say that, because who knows how these dog farmers raise dogs. I don't know.
Right.
In East Asia, I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't think... It's a tough situation, but I really don't think that I would look down on someone who had eaten dog before either. Especially considering like, you know, people go, oh, how could you? But you look a pig in the eyes and then want to kill that? Like, no.
Oh, yeah. And cows are so sweet.
Right. Right. And even like, I would have trouble with chickens, which are... There's nothing going on behind their eyes.
Well, maybe because I went dove hunting that one time. I have no problem with chickens.
You wouldn't think twice about cutting a chicken's head off and eating it.
No, I mean, I don't particularly want to do that, but yeah, I wouldn't. No, I. Who? Yeah.
If someone was showing
me how to do it, I wouldn't just try to like kill a chicken out of nowhere.
Well, that's good to know. That's good to know.
But if a farmer's like trying to train me or something,
That's what I want to do. Just to do it and be like, okay, this is what I'm doing. But I don't think that would have as big of an impact as killing a cow or a goat or a pig.
I will say, as much as I enjoy beef, I do avoid pork. And definitely part of the reason is that pigs are so cute.
Yeah.
So even I'm kind of being a hypocrite even here, because it's like,
yeah, it's impossible. You know. It's impossible to not be a hypocrite when it comes to that type of stuff. I love octopi. They're so cool and smart. I also like calamari a lot.
Right. I think that's squid though.
Or which okay, I like smart. I like octopus then. I like to eat octopus.
Sweet. Man, I tried to be, when I first moved here, I tried to be so cool and order octopus with my, what's it called?
Sushi.
But it's gross. It's too salty.
Oh, I love octopus. You get some good grilled octopus, but I feel horrible eating it because they're so smart. But it's like, wait, why am I, is there like a level of smart or a level of cute? Is there some barometer for like animals I won't eat and will eat based on what? Smarts? Looks? Like, I know in like Peru, they eat guinea pig, and people kind of frown on that. But I'm like, whatever. It might look...
I can go either way. As hopefully you all know, I love animals. I watch cute animal videos all the time. I got my pet fish here, which I'm going to eat when he dies. But I'm kidding. But... I can go both ways. It's like, I don't know. People die too. I don't know.
Right. Well, it's just kind of a, there's no like clear cut logic behind eating meat, what you will eat and what you won't eat for meat. I don't think, you know,
it's what you crave and what your body needs. Or that's what I say that, but then it's like, but I guess people just eat McDonald's and fast food all day and they get fat. So maybe that doesn't work. But
right. It's I think also there's a way what's you available, can, you know,
if you have the money, I think there's a way you can kind of get your body used to eating healthy organic food. And then you're still craving meat and protein and stuff. But if you stop eating fast food for long enough, you stop desiring it.
Right.
And you realize once you go back to it, it's like, whoa, this is full of like weird salty. I can't explain it, but it's like cardboardy.
Preservatives.
Yeah, it's just all preservatives. It tastes nothing like what I normally eat, which is good, and my body soaks it up.
Right. Right, right. But like if you know, McDonald's started serving a gorilla burger and we had gorilla commercially available to eat everywhere, then we would rationalize why we eat gorillas but not cows, because cows are too cute and gorillas we have gorilla, the Mick.
They're overrunning North America.
I mean, that would be horrifying. I guess that's Planet of the Apes.
Right.
If you stumbled on a, all right, here's something I want to know about you.
Go ahead.
All right. And I talked about, I've thought about this personally. If you stumbled upon a barbecue, they had some meat there already prepared and everyone's eating it. And they're like, hey, this is human meat. Do you want some?
Oh, okay. I would say no.
You wouldn't try one bite?
No, dude. You know what?
No one would look at you weird. Everyone there is already eating it. You're just stumbling. You're there. You walked up on this big party. Like, oh, hey, you want some of this? It's just freshly cooked. It's really good. It is human, but it's delish.
I don't have a lot of phobias that I'm aware of, like, but I scare myself. So I wouldn't want the possibility of liking that. That freaks me out. So I wouldn't even try it.
Bloodlust? You would like crave human meat?
Yeah. Like, for example, when Nancy Pelosi's, what's his name? Paul Pelosi's attack video.
Yeah.
I cannot watch it. I've watched it a few times, but right before the guy hits him with the hammer, even though Paul Pelosi didn't die, I can't watch it.
You see him hit him with the hammer?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
But I only watch him cock back, and then I'm like, I can't even get through it because...
No. Ugh. Oh, Jesus. I didn't realize that. I didn't know that. Why did you try and watch it? Just fascination.
Yes, but...
I get that.
I think the real fear is that... Not that I like it, but it's like... If I do watch that and it's in my brain, that's going to fuck me up. And so maybe that's what it is. So even if I eat human meat, yeah, what if it does taste good? I mean, I don't think I'll have a bloodlust, like I must have it now.
Right.
But what if I do like it a little bit? That's horrible.
And then you're walking around and go, I wonder if they're going to have one of those barbecues again. Maybe I'll eat a little bit more.
You'll always remember what it tastes like. Yeah, when someone's like, talking about
cannibals, pretty good, but it's not as good as that.
Someone starts talking about cannibals, and they're like, "That's insane!" And you're just like, in your mind, you're just like, "Oh, I guess I shouldn't mention that I've eaten meat, human."
I kind of get it, actually. But I mean, it's
that's
meat.
That's my biggest fear is like something, or not my biggest fear, but like that's what I'm skittish about is like seeing, because I've already been traumatized in my life, but.
Sure.
I haven't seen any. I'm going to jinx it if I say all the stuff I haven't seen.
Right.
Then I'm going to see it. But
the internet has traumatized us all. That's why I hate the fucking internet.
Dude, I couldn't even watch Two Girls, One Cup. But I saw like the beginning of it.
Yeah.
Before everyone knew what it was, this chick on set came up to me with her phone and started showing me this. And I'm just like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Like, this person needs to get off the fucking set. Like, we have a psycho on set, everybody. But then it's like, oh, now everyone's sharing it and it's funny? What the fuck is wrong with people? I actually found out, though, it's fake.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I didn't know that. But I was like, why are you showing me this? Like, think about how freaky that is.
We need to do a Where Are They Now with the Two Girls people.
That's true, actually. I saw a documentary about it where it's apparently banned in the United States. I don't, whatever that means.
What?
By George W. Bush. It's grotesque footage, or it's labeled as something legally.
It's banned in the United States.
But you can still just probably watch it online somewhere easily.
What?
But yeah.
How do they enforce that? Were they like raiding homes of places that had it
on
their computer?
Well, they don't enforce it. I think they just enforce it on the artist. But the artist, I think, is from Japan or something. And it's fake anyway. And it was like a male director and these two chicks. That's all I remember from this little 5 or 10 minute thing I saw on YouTube.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But how has their life changed? Are they recognized on the street?
They're the president and first lady of Japan now.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Hey, speaking of fascinating, did you read your fact?
I got it right here.
All right. All right, all right, well, all right.
Thanks, Corndog, for keeping me
on track.
Sort of on schedule.
How on schedule are we?
Well, we lost that 20 minutes. I think we did 20 minutes before, so we're at 44.
Fantastic. Perfect time. That's fact time in my book.
This week, we've got a factoid about Heathcliff.
Aha!
He was brought back by popular demand. Though he quickly appeared in 200 papers, Heathcliff's future was by no means guaranteed early on, and in 1974, the Los Angeles Times decided to drop the strip. More than 900 readers wrote letters of complaint in response, prompting the Times to reinstate the strip just a few weeks later.
Wow.
That is kind of incredible to me because nowadays it's all email.
Right. Right.
Even 900 people emailing would be like, that many people care?
Definitely.
But they actually wrote a letter, bought a stamp and an envelope, put it together,
Right.
Wow.
Just goes to show you how terrible television must have been back then.
True that.
Heathcliff was like the number one thing that they had going in L.A. And like, God damn it. What the fuck are we doing? No more Heathcliff. I'm going to tear my hair out.
Taxi must not have been on yet.
Yeah, exactly. One guy probably wrote 800 of those letters himself.
That's true. You know what? Since I read that word for word, that was written by Jake Rawson.
Thanks, Jake. Floss. Thanks, Jake, on Mental Floss. Heathcliff might be making another appearance later in this episode, so stay tuned. Keep listening.
Ooh. Well, some orange cat.
Maybe two.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
What else has been brought back by popular demand? Roseanne?
A bunch of shows. But I feel like they get brought back and then they go away again pretty quick.
Yeah, it never works
like
out.
Like Arrested Development. Everyone's like, yeah, it's coming back. Yeah. And then one season they go, no thanks. Actually, we changed our mind. We don't like you anymore. Goodbye.
Right.
Leave. Please leave.
I was one of those people.
Yeah.
I wanted it so bad and they made it. I feel like they made 4 episodes and that was going to be it. But then those went well. And then they made seasons. I don't remember. That whole show has always had a messed up relationship with whichever studio is like paying them.
Right.
So it's like, oh, we'll give you 3 episodes and see. It's like no other show does that. But yeah, I fell off too. The first 4 seasons on Fox were fucking amazing.
Right.
And then I watched 1 or 2 episodes when they came back when we projected it at mine and Sean's house years ago.
Yeah.
And I thought those were good, but they must not have been because I stopped following it.
Yeah. 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 Futurama did the same thing. Futurama's going back. Yeah.
I still watch everything Futurama puts out.
Really?
I've loved most all of it. Yeah.
I love Futurama. Don't get me wrong. But the newer episodes towards the end, it's like, ugh.
They're a little sappy.
Yes, they were sappy and they weren't funny. Yeah.
I don't know. I thought, I don't know which was the very last one, but I can't think of one I didn't like, really. I love Futurama.
I love Futurama, too. Big Fry fan, big Zoidberg guy.
I don't always want to watch a sad episode, though. There are, even
yes,
in their original run.
In their heyday.
Even back then, they had a sad episode where he found his petrified dog.
Yes.
And then at the end, it shows like the dog waiting for Fry. It's like, oh my God, I'm going to cry right now.
Yes, yes, yes. There's also another one with his brother, I think, that was kind of sad.
Yeah.
He also visited his dead brother. That was kind of weird. It's like, why are you going for these super emotional notes? Just be stupid and silly and funny. That's what I like.
Yeah, but the first time I see the sad episodes, I love them. I just don't want to go back and be sad again.
Oh, I was like, I never want to watch that episode ever again, and I haven't.
There's something about it. Maybe I just want to be artsy, and I see that as artsy or something, but
yeah,
maybe that's all it is.
Just going over the top, sentimental, and sad is...
I like that it gets a reaction.
Yes, it does get a reaction, but the same
way.
Other than
laughter, laughter seems a little, maybe like it's easier a little bit.
No way.
It's hard to make me sad. I mean, you tried to show me some devastating, like a war thing yesterday, and I laughed at it at first because I thought it was a joke.
Yeah, but
and
but,
then at the end, I was like, "Whoa, that's fucked up," but I wasn't even sad.
That, yeah,
you know? I wasn't gonna cry.
No, but that's not a sad feeling. But like, look at the ASPCA commercials. In the arms of an angel, with all the sad dogs in like a concrete.
Yeah,
that's easy. See, it's easy to make you sad. Or what about the car commercials where they go, "Are we almost there yet, Daddy? Hold on, just got to stop one second." And then they roll up to like a grave site. Like, this is where your mom died of cancer.
Those, but like, see, those
buy a
don't
Volkswagen.
Work. That's, yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. I see a lot of people attempt to be sad and it's funny. That sounds like a funny commercial to me. Sorry.
But it's like, well,
it's like, okay, Dad, thanks for, what the hell? Like, I could make fun of the dad. I could make fun of the car company. Like, what are you doing? It's a fucking ad.
Or like a commercial where they're like, you know, whatever. We fight. We're strong. This is America. And it shows a veteran and stuff. And then it shows some kid in a cancer ward, you know. And then it shows, like, a dead baby or something like that.
I haven't seen that one.
But I mean, like, it's easy to just, like, pull the heartstrings, like... Like a woman
well, but
getting beat by
you know
her
what,
husband
though?
Or something.
You're naming, well, I don't know what you're talking about, actually, but but the Arms of the Angel commercial and the cancer kid, that pulls at the heartstrings, but that's because those are real, and you're watching a real sick puppy who's about to be euthanized.
So now you're saying Futurama's not real.
And it still made you as sad because they're that talented.
Yes.
That's cool. But I agree, though. I'm not going to watch it again. I don't want to be sad again. But I do think there's something kind of cool artistically or I don't know. It. What's the word? Stimulates me in some way.
Yes.
Because it makes me sad. It's like, wow, that was fucking, that was amazing. That's kind of what I say after it. If it's a fictional thing that made me sad.
It's just his dog loved him and would just stayed in the exact same spot in front of the pizzeria waiting for him to come back, and he never did, and the dog died.
Aw, dogs are so great. Yeah, I'm about to be sad again. Not really, but I could be. Like, that is a sad
reality,
thought.
Luigi should have just came out, sliced him up, threw him on top of a pizza.
Exactly. It's not immoral.
I mean, the dog would have been put to better use.
Yeah, I mean, there's a case to be made.
There's a artist, there's a author, Edward Abbey, wrote one of my favorite books of all time, Desert Solitaire. It's all about, he was a park ranger in Arches in Utah in the 70s, right?
Okay.
Arches is like by Zion, one of the most beautiful beautiful parks. And this is back in the day before they had like paved roads going all through it. It was just a big, open, crazy park, right?
Yes.
And so it's an amazing, book. And it's just like makes you want to go outside and just like rub dirt in your hair and just become like a free naturalist type of person. Right. Go canoeing and riding a mule across Yosemite and rock climbing and all that weird shit. Right.
Yeah. Love that shit.
Yeah. Right. And he's super critical of like all the paved roads and stuff that are going through the national parks. You can see like he's hypothesizing on what the future is going to be like in these parks. And he's right. And he's like, they're just making it so all these fat ass Americans can drive up in their RVs with their McDonald's and get out, take a picture in front of this magical thing. They don't have to do this hike in for 10 miles, which, you know, is a little romanticized because it's nice that people who maybe can't go hike for 10 miles are still able to enjoy the natural beauty.
Yeah, that would be my counter argument.
Right, like, right.
These people wouldn't have come out at all.
Right. So there is, there's.
And littered.
Right, anyway. Exactly. Exactly. There's shitty versions of those people. There's good versions of those people. There's,
yeah.
It's too varied to say for sure. But you know, it is a valid argument that it's ruining the nature and the beauty of this majestic place, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I hate roads in general. That's another thing where it's like, if we could start over today, it's like our whole city here would be, you know, well, we would you have a great subway system.
Right, know? Right.
But, right. I was going to say, though, you know, another argument, though, for that those roads are, our national park system is so cool and special, and I was going to say not a lot of countries have it. I don't really know that, but all I'm saying is it's really cool and special, and I think we have to realize that could go away someday, and it's important to keep it in people's minds and have, yes, them value it. And so paving some roads deep into it just so people can at least get that surface experience of it, I think that's important to keep it important in people's,
yeah,
minds.
Because if people can't go there, they're like, fuck it, who cares? I don't care about that place. I'm not walking around it.
Yeah, one road or five roads is much better than selling it and building a city there, you know?
Right, absolutely. But anyway, the point of this whole story has nothing to do with fucking roads, okay?
Oh. I thought it did.
No, the point of the story is he is a big naturalist, right? And that means he really really doesn't like dogs. He's like, I don't think dogs are great. I think pets, we're feeding them weird shit. They're shitting all over the place and ruining the habitat. I wish all dogs were ground up and made into coyote food, is a quote he says.
It's
pretty
dumb.
Extreme, but
isn't a naturalist? A is he a scientist?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought when I was a kid, I remember that being the name of a type of a biologist. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Anyway, sorry.
No, he's pro nature. He wants everything to be natural and how it is, and untouched by human, human fingers.
Well, it sounds like he fails to recognize that we are part of nature, and we're not the only animal that affects the environment in a positive or a negative way.
But, well, that's where the circle of life comes into account. Like, for instance, the wolves in Yellowstone, right? You got animals that keep other animals in check.
Yeah.
Right? You seen that wolves in Yellowstone thing?
No.
The reintroduction of wolves, because all these ranchers around Yellowstone had killed all the wolves. Then they reintroduced the wolves into Yellowstone.
I believe I heard that. Yeah, I heard about that, and the population is now better than it even was beforehand. Is that where the story goes?
No.
Oh.
So they reintroduced the wolves, and so the wolves started eating more deer and keeping the deer population all of a sudden, which was had exploded, was now under control. And since the deer population was under control, the grass started growing longer, which meant it held the banks and not as much dirt was going into the rivers. So that meant that the fish could swim up further up the river to where they used to be able to spawn, which led other animals being able to feed on those eggs and those fish, the bear population. So just like it helped the entire ecosystem, but just right, reintroducing one animal, you know, in ways that like it helped the river flow better. It, like crazy ways.
Everything had evolved for there to be wolves there. And then you just take them away. It's like, yeah, right, it's not going to function correctly.
Right. But at the same time, yeah, I don't think that, you know, if humans weren't around, there probably still would be some animal that comes and overpopulates stuff and gets, I don't think everything would work in perfect harmony anyway.
Beavers and elephants can really wreak havoc, and ants, of course, invasive species of any kind. And, you know, some, they're not all only brought by human beings. I mean, I'm an environmentalist, but I do feel like people like the person you're mentioning, like, take it way too far where they're like, we just need a lower population. And it's like, what? No, everyone is just living their life in the most. Like I said, we all use disposable plastic bottles. It's completely unnecessary.
Elephants don't. Beavers don't. There's no coal
mines.
But
that's the problem. It's not that it's human beings, period. We didn't always have this. Even one generation ago, you know, people didn't use plastic this much.
Right.
So I don't know. People just think like, oh, humans are the problem. I think it's the way our system's set up, and leadership and propaganda is the problem, and the industrial complex of everything. It's like, it's
the industrial complex. Exactly.
Well, it's like not. Yeah.
It's the money. It's money. It's all money.
Any CEO who wants, like Elon Musk, for example, he wanted to take a positive step in eliminating gasoline cars. And he actually invested his money, and he did a lot to make that happen. And I don't think it's
by buying his way onto a board. Okay, go on.
Yeah, but it did help that company.
Well, of course.
I mean, I know he didn't found Tesla, but
buying into it, of course,
he made it huge.
Gave him a bunch of money.
He made it huge. I mean, in my opinion, but now we're finding out how bad for the environment electric cars are, and they may or may not be as bad as gasoline cars, but if he were to hypothetically find out that they're way worse, what's a person like him now supposed to do? We're supposed to expect a CEO like that to, like, oh, I guess this company has to be destroyed now.
No.
You know, some companies should be destroyed. But who decides
right.
that? I don't know. It's very complex. I'm not saying I would decide that or any one person should, but yeah, anyway.
I think you could decide it. I could put you in that position.
No, now that's dictatorship and like fascism and shit. Or the opposite of that. Communism.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the precious metals that are used to build everything, we just need more precious metals. Hopefully we can find it in space. What do you think about that? Blowing up, we find a planet,
I agree.
Blow
maybe,
it all up.
I think I'm just
everything.
I think I'm just a big regulation guy, because even space now has tons of junk in it. And it's like, can't we like set up regulations?
That's Elon Musk. He's just shooting shit up in space
yeah,
every day.
Yeah, exactly, dude.
He's got a car floating
He's
around
He's talking
there.
About the environment, and now we can't even look into the sky and see stars because he's put a bunch of fucking crap up there.
Yeah.
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 just brought him up because I was trying to think of an example of, like, what if electric car...
No, I know. You're number one favorite guy.
No. I'm new. Well, no, he's not. But I don't hate him either necessarily, but I'm not sure about him. I don't trust him.
I don't trust him either.
That's what it is. I don't like him. I don't hate him. I don't trust him. I wanted a Tesla, and now I'm not can't afford one, but.
They're still cool cars, especially the ones that are self-driving and run over people.
Right, and explode.
And explode. That's really fucking cool.
But that's not the solution. The solution is public transit. But nobody.
Well,
it's such an
every
unpopular
Tesla that
thing.
Explodes and person that they run over, one less driver on the road.
Da da da.
You're right. You're right. We need public transportation, but no one's going to want to take public transportation because the whole reason they work and is to buy another car.
Yeah, and avoid seeing their neighbors.
Yes, exactly. And look down upon everyone who doesn't drive.
And just become more prejudiced and more like not knowing what the other side is like, what the
right.
poor people are like.
And it's like, well, if I can get a couple steps ahead by selling this gas I got out of a rock, then I'm going to do it, even though I already have a quazillion dollars.
I know a guy who owns an oil derrick, and he's like, he's got dreads. He's like the most hippie guy. He's a professional painter.
Wow.
But, and he really is super quote unquote liberal and progressive, but you know,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't even know if that's wrong. Like, should he sell it? I mean, it's just there anyway, and he's just collecting royalties.
Right.
If he sells it, someone else is going to collect royalties. It's not going to stop being there.
You don't hear very often about the liberal oil derrick owners.
You don't, but they're in Congress.
Yeah, right. It's true. Yeah, we're all just slaves to oil.
Yeah.
And gas. Just
slaves. But we've got to acknowledge we all use it, you know.
Well, yeah. What options do we have? Going and buying a Tesla, but then you still got oil or gas in your house.
Oh, you're right. I was about to say, I have a pretty good, well, I'm bad about plastic, but otherwise I have a pretty good carbon footprint, but no, I got the gas heater.
Yeah, but that's not bad. You got a pretty good carbon footprint if that's only it. You don't even have a car in Los Angeles. You're doing great.
Yeah, and the buses run on natural gas too, which is a weird, obviously somebody got a deal.
Natural gas is, yeah, that's the fracking gas.
Is it?
I think so, yeah. I mean, Obama was huge on natural gas and how great it was. It's not much better. Different problem.
Yeah. I
And how?
All right.
You ready for comics?
Is it comic time?
I think it's comics time. We both got our iPads open. Hey, this was a pretty serious episode, I felt like.
It was. How do you feel about it?
I'm into it. It was a good conversation. And now we're going to leave everyone cracking their ass up with two dynamite comics. So I think everyone's just been building and building and listening intently, but now they're ready to crack up. So let's deliver it.
All right. Well, Garfield is returning.
Mm-hmm.
Returning champ. And, you know, the first comic I opened up to was hilarious. I already had it pulled up. So go Garfield, man.
Go Garfield.
Good for you, Jim Davis. Okay, three panels. You're going to be so disappointed. I've said it's so funny. Three panels. Garfield's just leaning up against the counter, and John's yelling at him. Garfield, you ate the last donut.
Classic.
You didn't even leave anything for me. And then that's the second panel. You didn't even leave anything for me. And then Garfield thinks very well. And then the third panel, he spits out the plate.
All right. That's pretty funny. Why? He was going to keep the plate swallowed?
I don't know.
I like that. I like that one. All right. Tough to beat. I came in with Heathcliff. I brought
Garfield's
Heathcliff to the
arch
battle.
Rival.
Yeah. Always kind of second fiddle to Garfield, even though it was started before Garfield.
Yep.
So Heathcliff just doesn't make a lot of sense. That's what I've realized, which is kind of the fun part of it.
I tried to get a Heathcliff one last week, but they were good. They're trippy, but not very funny.
Okay.
At least
so
not the ones I saw.
This is a bit multiple panels, but not many words. Okay. So it starts out, this is a Sunday with Heathcliff. That's why it's so long. Starts out with Heathcliff and a raccoon sitting on top of trash cans on looks like a sidewalk, and there looks like there's a bunch of trash underneath the trash cans too. They're like the trash cans are like piles of filth, and they're sitting on top of the trash cans, and the raccoon has a bone in his mouth and Heathcliff has fish bones in his mouth, right? And they look happy,
and there's trash on the ground next to the trash can.
Here, look.
I was gonna say, so it's LA.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. They're outside Logan's house.
I live in a nice area.
No, yeah, I know. But all the trash you create, as we talked about on this episode. So they're sitting there, and then a spaceship comes up, a flying saucer. Very topical. Saucer flies up, lands in their yard. Stairs come out of the bottom. It's a classic flying saucer look. Alien runs out. He goes, runs all the way over to a bush. And then he gets behind the bush and you hear it zip. And then him going, ah. And then him walking back. And then the last panel, the flying saucer takes off. And the raccoon says to Heathcliff, there are no bushes in space.
Holy shit. Can I see that?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Uh-oh. They're both really good.
Yeah.
They're both good. Here's what I propose. Because those are both so good,
mm-hmm.
I think we should bring them back again next week.
Yeah, some overtime.
Yeah, this is overtime because those are both genuinely funny. It's the first time I'm astounded. It's the first time it's happened on this podcast.
Of course, it's the cats.
Of course, hot cat on cat action. Wow. We did it, Logan. We did it. I said we were going to crack them up with our comic strips.
Woo!
And we did.
We high-fived for our audio listeners.
Wow. Well, I think that's the perfect way to sign off, right? Don't you think?
I think so.
All right, guys. Until next week, keep listening.
Keep laughing.
And keep stripping.